Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor at Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Dr. Kinlow is continuing his series of messages titled Moses' Last Counsel to His People from the 30th chapter of Deuteronomy. Beginning in chapter 29, Moses summoned all of Israel and instructed them. He starts in verse 2 by reminding them of how God delivered them from Pharaoh in Egypt, the great trials they saw, and the signs and wonders. Then he says in verse 9, "Therefore keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do." God promises material benefits if they keep the covenant. Violation and disregard of the covenant would bring disastrous consequences, including exile. Israel had to make a choice. We have to make choices as followers of Christ. Those choices can lead to spiritual and material prosperity. Wrong choices can bring negative, bad results and God's correcting hand. Let's listen and learn.
But let's read the word of the Lord together. Deuteronomy 30. I'll start at 15. You end up with 20. "See, I've set before you today life and prosperity and death and calamity, and that I'm commanding you today to love Yahweh," or the Lord your God, "to walk in his ways and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, so that you may live and multiply. And that Yahweh," that is the covenant name of God between God and his people, "and that Yahweh," or the Lord, most English translations, "your God may bless you in the land where you are entering to possess it. But if your heart turns away and you will not listen, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today that you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land where you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today." That line there is one of the deepest phrases, I believe, in the scriptures. "I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. So choose life in order that you may live, you and your seed." Verse 20, read.
"By loving Yahweh your God, by listening to his voice, and by holding fast to him, for this is your life and the length of your days, that you may live in the land which Yahweh swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them."
Can God's people say amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is the word of God. Once again, we turn our minds and hearts to the book of Deuteronomy and Moses' last counsel to his people, the people of God. And we are giving our attention to the Old Testament text because we learn in the New Testament that the Old Testament is for every generation, including this present one. You know, many people call themselves New Testament Christians. That terminology doesn't exist in the Bible. God's people simply believe the scriptures. And the scriptures are what we call the Old Testament and the New Testament. Those 66 books, they are the word of God. And every last word in all 66 of those books, they speak to us today.
Yes.
And so the Old Testament is for today. It is for every generation, including the one we are living in today. We read of this principle in Romans 15 and 4. It says, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope." In this passage, Paul specifically stated that the Old Testament was written to instruct us, the people of God, concerning the things of God, give us perseverance in the things of God, encourage us in the scriptures given to us by God, in order that we as the people of God will have a certain hope and expectation that all that God has promised us will manifest itself in the church, and in our lives. And so this is why we are giving our attention to Moses' last counsel to his people, the people of God, Israel, and because the old is for us today, these same instructions are being given to us. Understanding this, we learn in Deuteronomy 30 and 15 that God had set before the people two choices they could make as a nation and also as individuals concerning their outcome and their destiny. The outcome and destiny of the nation of Israel and also the individual Jewish lives. It was a choice of selecting life and prosperity or death and calamity, some translations, adversity. Deuteronomy 30:16 instructed Israel and the individual Jewish people that made up the nation of Israel. He tells them how they could choose life and prosperity. The Hebrew words life and prosperity, they refer to living a good life in the general sense, or in the total scheme of things, you have a prosperous life. First and foremost, spiritually, but also in the material sense, God always blessing us with a necessary amount of things needed to live in this world and to live this life we have now. And so the life and prosperity that God says, I set before you life and prosperity, it is living a good life and being prosperous in the general sense. I remember my father when he became older man in his late 70s and early 80s, he would often say to me, son, I've had a good life. He wasn't saying he had a life that was void of adversity and struggles, but what he was saying is, as he looked back, he knew that God had just blessed him and given him a good life. So it's a life where you look around and you can really see how God has blessed you. My wife and I, Sister Kendall, Sister Terry, we often look back from whence we came when we first got married, March 16th, 1985. It'll be 40 years in March, and we marvel at how much God has blessed us in every sense, spiritually, materially, blessed us with a wonderful daughter. And so we can really look back and tell you the benefits of choosing life and prosperity. And so it's a life of prosperity and goodness in general. And it's in general because no one's life is void of adversity. Nobody's life is void of trials and tribulations that are common to everyone, because we live in a sin-cursed, fallen world. And therefore, there is no perfection in this world except the redemption we possess through our Lord Jesus Christ. But in the midst of adversity and the normal struggles of life, God says, choose life.
Yes. Yes.
Choose prosperity. And so this is one of the choices God set before Israel. And the way we choose life and the way we choose prosperity, Moses gives it to him in this same Deuteronomy text. And it says, you choose life and you choose prosperity by living according to the ways of God that we read in Scripture, by keeping the commandments of God that we clearly read in Scripture, commands such as believing and trusting in the one true and living God, to the other exclusion of every false god and every idol, being obedient to the commands of God. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. And so this is how we love God and walk in the ways of God. Jesus reiterated this same truth in John 15:14 when he said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so Israel, they were to choose life and prosperity by loving God, as evidence in keeping the statutes and pronouncements of God, an example of the pronouncements of God. An excellent example is Romans 10 and 11. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Because we live consistently by this pronouncement, this is how we walk in the ways of God. They were to choose life and prosperity by loving God and keeping the judgments of God. An example of one of the judgments of God is John 3:17. This is a judgment of God. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. He who believes in him, the Son of God, Jesus, is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is judgment, that the light, and the light is Jesus, has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, for their deeds were evil. This is one of the judgments of God that we keep and that we declare amongst men. And so when you live like this, God will bless you. It is true for a nation, and it is also true of individuals within that land. That is, we can choose life and prosperity by loving God, as evidenced by living according to the ways of God, living according to the commandments of God, living according to the statutes of God, and by keeping the judgments of God. In other words, a nation and a person will live and multiply first and foremost spiritually, but also materially, as far as a nation and one's individual needs being met by God. Yeah. And so now we move on in verses 7 through 18 to the other choice God had set before Israel. The choice of death and adversity. Once again, 17 and 18 says, so he first says, back to 15, see, I set before you life and prosperity and death and calamity. In 16, he tells them how to choose life and prosperity. And then 17, he instructs them how to choose death and calamity. And so in 17, it says, but if your heart turns away and you will not listen, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I declare to you today, you shall surely perish. You will not prolong your days in the land when you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess it. So once again, I'm being repetitive. 17 and 18 concern the second option, the option of choosing death and calamity and adversity. When God, through Moses, talks about death, the Hebrew word there is the word muth. It can mean death in the literal sense, or things taking place in a person or a nation's life that are worthy of death. For example, a person can be living a lifestyle in which they are practicing things that are worthy of death. A pedophile. It can mean a death in the sense of an end to a specific existence, a way of life. It can be the death or end of a marriage. It is the death or end of a friendship, the death or end of a nation. So that's what's impregnated in that Hebrew word, muth, death. The word calamity, also translated adversity, in some translations, is the Hebrew word ra. It means severe affliction. It means bad things in the extreme. It means severe adversity, severe stress. Choosing the second option, death and calamity, literal death, things in your life worthy of one being put to death, and death in reference to a specific way of life or existence, affliction, bad things occurring in life, severe adversity and distress, it consists of three perpetual actions. Number one, turning one's heart away from God. Verse 17, but if your heart turns away. Number two, not listening to the voice of God. 17b, and you will not obey. And then number three, being drawn away and worshiping and serving other gods. The latter part of verse 17, but are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. These three perpetual actions apply to nations, for these were Moses' direct words to Israel, but they also apply to individuals. For every individual Israelite was to take heed to these words. And since the Old Testament is for the present time, they apply to nations and individuals today. Remember Romans 15 and 4, for whatever was written in the earlier time was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. The heart of a nation can turn away from God. The heart of a nation can turn away from God. In other words, when the majority in a land turn away from God, that nation has turned away from God. The way to discern that this is true is when a nation begins to institutionalize sin, evil, and those things that are abominable according to what God says in His Word, the Holy Scriptures. The test to determine whether a nation has turned away from God or not is when it begins to institutionalize and legalize sin, evil, and those things that are abominable to the mind of God. You've institutionalized killing kids, abortion. You've institutionalized minors being able to mutilate themselves. In Ohio right now, as a parent, you have no say-so. Your child at 12 can say, I just feel, yeah, boy, I just feel like a woman, I feel like a girl. Do you know they can get so-called gender care, gender health care, and you parents have nothing to do with it. Now, they ran it across as issue one in an election several years ago. And the way they got black folks to accept it was they lied and said, if you don't pass this, you're going to lose all your rights and you're going back into slavery. And most of us fell for it. You're not going back in slavery. Get home and read the 13th Amendment. And you understand why I say that. But in that issue one, what they said was, you can get an abortion anytime in Ohio up to the 9th month for any reason. And it also said, no one can prohibit anyone, including minors, from any, they call it now, gender care, reproductive health care, abortion care, all of those things have been institutionalized. They've always been evil. They've always been wrong. Yes, we know they've always existed. But the test to see where a nation is with God is when we begin to institutionalize and legalize those things. The number one factor in this taking place in a nation and individual lives is the people of God. Those who profess faith in Christ unto salvation, when that group fails to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, when that occurs, that's when nations begin to institutionalize sin, evil, and abominable practices. Yes. Matthew 5:13, this is Jesus talking to his people. You are the salt of the earth. The salt was is a preserving element. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how will it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You, the people of God, are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden.
Amen.
The world will never understand this. God's people need to understand this. But I fear most don't. All of God's dealing with the nation today is through his church. Yes. And I don't mean we're trying to get a state religion and all of that other kind of stuff. We're not trying to serve the sacraments in Congress or the Senate. But God deals with the nation according to how his people live. God deals with the nation according to how his people are willing to cry aloud and spare not and speak the truth of the word of God without compromise. That is God's instrument in preserving a land and in preserving a nation. And we could take it further. It all starts in the pulpit.
Yes.
When we used to have a renaissance, we had a saying, no nation can survive when its pulpits have been nullified. When the pulpit becomes weak, the members of the church become weak, and when that happens, down goes the nation. So, you know, we all often, what's going on in this land, and why is it going on? If you're a Christian, look in the mirror, and that's your answer right now. How's your thinking? How is your living? Do you have a biblical worldview? When the people of God, Christ's church, cease to be the salt of the earth that preserves the world from slipping into gross spiritual rot, nations and persons will turn away from God.
Yes.
They will not listen to the voice of God. Why should they? When you claim to be a Christian, won't listen. Why would a nation give a hoot about God? Why would a nation want to hear what God says about all of these things taking place today? But not even the church wants to hear it.
Teach us.
You don't want to be bothered with it. And yet you claim you're saved and sanctified and Holy Ghost filled and fire baptized. I want y'all to pray for me that I'll be the one he's calling for in these last and evil days. You got part of it right. The days are evil. And the reason why it's so out of control is us, church. We don't want to do right. We don't want to stand up on the truth of the word of God. We don't want to say this is wrong, this is right. We don't want to tell the world God is holy. God is love, God is holy, God is merciful, God is long-suffering, God is also a consuming fire.
Yes, yes.
When God's people cease to be the salt of the earth, eventually the people will turn to the worship of idols, gods that be no gods at all, gods that can neither think, hear, or speak. For persons and things that do not exist cannot do any of these things. Christians or professed Christians whose lives for the most part are contrary to loving the Lord as evidenced by, they don't walk in the ways of the Lord. They don't obey the commands of the Lord, in particular the ones they don't like. They don't take seriously the customs and statutes of the Lord. And they are ashamed to pronounce the decrees of the Lord. They are the direct cause for death and adversity in a nation and in the lives of people.
Amen.
Professed Christians or Christians who are grossly out of fellowship with God, they often love church entity. They love some church. Churchanity is you love to come to church on Sunday morning and be entertained. You want to listen to a clowning preacher tickle your ears in so-called sermons that are myths rather than the word of God rightly divided or handled accurately. We love some church. The songs we sing ain't got nothing to do with to the glory of God alone. The songs we sing serves one purpose, to get me happy and to get me excited. Somebody told my wife and I one time, after I heard the mass choir, that's enough for me, I'm done. That's what it takes for me, the choir. When the choir's jumping, that's all I need. I wanted to tell her, you don't have much. Because as soon as you walk out the door, all that's done. We love church, but do we love God? Amen. As evidenced by walking in his ways, keeping his commandments, keeping his customs, and keeping his ordinances and pronouncements and decrees. Regardless whether they're just professed or just grossly out of fellowship Christians, they form the foundation that enables and encourages the masses to turn away from God, not listen to God, and thus be drawn to idolatry or to serve and worship other gods that be not gods at all. In my opinion, this is where the United States is today. And where most are in the United States today, the evidence is this nation and most of the people in it have submitted to the practice or the agreement to many things that the scriptures are crystal clear are vile and abominable to the true and living God. Amen. In my opinion, right now, the top four are these. Abortions. Sexual perversions, LGBTQAI plus, child mutilation, child sexualization. I know there are other sin issues, but these are the bottom of the sewer and the cesspool of sin.
We're sorry we had to end the message right there. Join us tomorrow for the conclusion of this message. If you would like to support the radio ministry of Word of God Community Church, visit our website at wogcc.org and click the Give button. Help us spread the gospel throughout Ohio and the world. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church and Word Central Radio.